Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. After you've called for help and determined a patient isn't breathing but does have a palpable pulse, how often should you give a rescue breath? How does that change if the patient's heart stops and we no longer feel a pulse? Can you actually overventilate a patient in cardiac arrest? Those are just a few of the BLS knowledge questions you need to know to provide high-quality ventilations and is today's PASS ACLS tip topic. Listening to a tip daily for a few weeks before your class will help to cement the key concepts needed for you to pass your ACLS written exam and MegaCode. Push the plus, follow, or subscribe button in your listening app, or activate the PASS ACLS flash briefing skill on your Amazon voice device so you don't miss upcoming tips. You can find additional ACLS-related resources at passacls.com. Let's start with the most basic first. Rescue breathing is provided when a patient isn't breathing on their own but has a palpable carotid pulse. In this case, we give one breath every 6 seconds for approximately 10 breaths per minute. Once help arrives, oxygen should be attached to the BVM, if it isn't already, to deliver close to 100% oxygen to the patient. Depending on your setting and equipment, end-tidal CO2 waveform capnography can also be used on these patients, and it should be at least 35 millimeters of mercury. If you see a sudden drop in end-tidal CO2, immediately check the patient's pulse and rhythm on the ECG. Now, let's say we have an unresponsive patient with gasping, agonal respirations and no pulse. We should start chest compressions and do good CPR because the patient is in cardiac arrest. The person doing ventilations in this case will deliver 2 slow and steady breaths with just enough volume to make the chest gently rise after each cycle of 30 chest compressions. We'll perform CPR until a defibrillator arrives and continue chest compressions while the defib pads are attached to the patient. For VFib or pulseless VTAC, the initial shock should be safely administered as soon as the defibrillator is ready. We'll continue to give 2 breaths after each cycle of 30 chest compressions until the patient has return of spontaneous circulation or an advanced airway is placed. For ACLS, the 3 advanced airways include the endotracheal, or ET tube, a laryngeal mask airway, or LMA, and the esophageal tube airway. Esophageal tubes have various names. While insertion of an ET tube is the gold standard of airway maintenance, it is not a priority during a code. Intubation or insertion of another advanced airway isn't in the adult cardiac arrest algorithm until after the second shock or administration of epi on the non-shockable side. Outcome studies that compare ET tube versus supraglottic airways like the LMA, King, or iGel show no significant difference. Once an experienced provider has confirmed placement of an advanced airway by auscultation of bilateral breath sounds and use of a secondary confirmation device such as end-tidal capnography, we'll begin delivering 1 breath every 6 seconds. With an advanced airway, we no longer care about chest compression cycles and pausing for breaths. Compressions don't pause once an advanced airway has been placed. We simply give 1 breath every 6 seconds for a rate of approximately 10 breaths per minute. This is helpful for maintaining an 80% chest compression fraction because now, the only time we pause chest compressions is every 2 minutes to safely deliver a shock if indicated. We do not stop CPR to obtain an X-ray for confirmation of ET tube placement. End-tidal CO2 waveform capnography should be used to confirm placement of an advanced airway, to measure the quality of CPR, and as an indicator of possible return of spontaneous circulation. If we hear bilateral breath sounds and have CO2 on ventilation, the airway is in the right place. While color-changing CO2 detectors can help confirm initial tube placement, they aren't as useful as quantitative waveform capnography. If the CPR coach or another team member notices the loss of a waveform or a peak wave less than 10 millimeters of mercury, they should speak up. Loss of a waveform may indicate that the advanced airway has been displaced. A peak waveform less than 10 is an indicator of poor CPR and may signal the need to change compressors. A sudden jump in CO2 may indicate ROSC. It's easy during the heat of a code to lose track of time and deliver breaths more frequently than the desired once every 6 seconds. Unnecessary hyperventilation of patients has negative effects. Increased interthoracic pressure can compress the vena cava and decrease cardiac return, making CPR less effective. It can also cause the expulsion of too much CO2, causing respiratory alkalosis. The CPR coach or another team member should help monitor the rate of ventilations and give critical feedback when needed. If you found today's tip on artificial ventilations helpful, consider giving back via the secure PayPal link in the episode notes or clicking the donate button at passacls.com. I'm here to help you pass ACLS. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your class.